Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by SmartThings. SmartThings lets you monitor, control, and automate your home from wherever you are using your smartphone. Right now, SmartThings is offering All About Android listeners 10% off selected kits and get free shipping in the U.S. when you go to smartthings.com/android and use the offer code Android at checkout. And by LegalZoom, if you're looking to incorporate, form an LLC, get a trademark, and more, LegalZoom can help you get started the right way. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA in the referral box at checkout this month for your special discount. And by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's LYNDA.com/allaboutandroid. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 218, recorded on Tuesday, June 15th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Oh, hey.
Go for it.
I'm Miriam.
How's it going?
Wow. Normally it doesn't work that way.
I'll just
do it.
We're going
we start with a wide shot. You feel like everybody needs to be in from the start.
Cheers, everyone.
We really like the wide shot this week, so that's
we're just
going to,
I
think
probably what we can do. By the way, Josh Windich is technical director of the show today. Brian's out. Zach's out. Josh, this is your first time on All About Android, right?
It is, yes.
Okay.
So I've got the training wheels going.
And they're very big training wheels, I should remind everyone.
They are huge.
Like they're like big wheel, big boy training wheels.
So maybe you know, you could just do the whole show on the wide shot.
No, that's not
how you usually do it, because that was how I was planning on it. But.
It's all good, man. It's fine.
I like it. So Ron, you're back after...
I am.
Well, so you've been out of town like three weeks now.
Yeah, I was in New York for the past 2 weeks. I had my little Bahamas getaway, and then I was in New York. I was Skyped in last week, but I'm back in San Francisco as of today, and very excited to be back in studio. So, yeah.
Excellent. And then, Miriam, we haven't had you on a while. How have you been?
No,
you've been busy.
You've
been traveling as well.
Yeah, I finally got a vacation. First one in, like, years. A real one, you know, the one you kind of plan, not the one that you tack on to the end of Mobile World Congress kind of thing. Nice. And I went to Iceland, and in about the same dates as you, actually. I left just after Google I/O, like, the night of the Friday, and then I got back this Saturday, so 2 weeks-ish. You were gone a bit longer.
Yeah, I've stayed a little longer.
But you know what? I got the opportunity to take two of the best camera phones on Android, the G4, which is right here, and the Galaxy S6 on my trip and take most of my pictures with these two phones.
Nice.
Alongside a real high-end point-and-shoot, a Fujifilm X30. And really, you know, there are a few things that the Fujifilm was better at, but I really could rely on these two phones, which
That's
was
awesome.
Really
yeah,
remarkable.
I was looking on Google
That's
Plus.
So nice.
I was seeing your photos as the days were going by, and I was just like, I was always looking to see which one they were taken with, and that whole thing. Yeah. It's like, wow. I mean, because that's a great landscape. I mean, that whole area is beautiful, right?
Yeah. No kidding.
So yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back. I should mention that Josh, you are an iOS guy, but I have heard you tell me on a couple of occasions that you're Android curious.
I am Android curious, yes.
Maybe by the end of this show.
There are lots of jokes that I'm just going to avoid. I'm just going to let them go.
Let them go.
Yep, no problem.
Don't need to dive in. Maybe by the end of this show, we'll bring you over to the dark side.
We'll get a couple of drinks in you later on, and then we'll see what happens. So.
He just replaced his iPhone 6 with a GS6. He won't even notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Wakes up in the morning. Oh, man, I don't remember anything last night. What is this? Nexus 6?
Whoa!
No! It could happen to you, Josh. I'm just saying.
It could.
Actually,
I'm fickle.
Nexus 6 would be kind of mean.
I don't know. You've got a 6 Plus right now, right? An iPhone 6 Plus?
Yeah, I have an iPhone 6 Plus. So, and yeah, I've actually looked at the Nexus 6 with envy. So.
Oh, wow, see?
I have,
see,
yeah.
Envious
of the...
I like, as being an iOS guy, I like how pure the Nexus experience is. Yeah. Like, that's maybe why I'm gravitating toward it.
Okay.
Look at Josh just sliding into the show. It's just I think he said more than Brian's ever said.
Well, we'll put that to the test here in a second. We have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to be discussing the possible intersection of Android and BlackBerry.
We saw that coming.
Maybe a few people. The disappointing track record of Android One. Post-honeymoon analysis of the LG G4.
Yes.
Excellent look at E3 from one of our super fans and more. But Josh, I hope you're ready for this. It's time to go to some news.
It's time for the part of the show I've been rehearsing all day. My intro for Android News.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
I gotta say,
wow.
If Brian's watching the show, he's gotta be a little worried. Yeah, that's, I gotta give it up.
Well, that was really good.
Josh, that was.
Wow.
It's not easy to just like come from behind like that and suddenly like take the reins.
I mean, the little vocal effect at the end was, mm-hmm. I mean, I was impressed. I was very impressed.
I actually wrote it down and I didn't even use what I wrote down. So.
Oh, wow. You practiced it so many times. You didn't need to read your notes.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Well
keep
done.
It up.
Well done. I'm impressed.
All right, let's do this.
What's also impressive is Google's efforts around identifying security flaws. Google launched the Android Security Awards program in an effort to make Android safer by offering cash money for bugs or flaws to security researchers. Moderate severity bugs can pull a $500 payout. High severity bugs pull a $1,000 payout. Critical severity bugs pull a $2,000 payout. If researchers can show a test case, Google will up the ante by about 50%. If researchers can offer a patch, the amount gets doubled.
It's like a game show.
I know. It's really like I'm trying to figure out how much, you know, but researchers can make a good amount of money. Yeah. So if the reward panel deems a discovery worthy, they can opt to pay out even more.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're thinking about this is a great way to get some cash in your pocket, unfortunately, general users can't cash in on these discoveries. It's just verified security researchers. There's a pool. They have a mailing list, a listserv. Where they talk about these things and they
kind of think about this in order to really understand the multipliers and everything. Yeah. But it's
kind of
cool
though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's going to be very effective, I think.
Well, I think it's interesting because Google's been doing the zero tolerance to other companies policy hey, if we find a bug at Microsoft, we're going to let you know and you've got 60 days to fix it or we're telling everybody. Or 60 hours. Yeah, whatever it is, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see that they're being aggressive not with their own stuff as well, saying, hey, this is so important. We will pay people who find these problems and we'll pay them even more if they fix it, which is great. You know, so I mean, I think they've got all that money sitting around. So we'll do something with it. Right?
They're sleeping on piles of money. Yeah, they might as well take a few layers and hand it out, especially because, I mean, you have to imagine with every release of pretty much anything that Google does, there are going to be bugs. Some of them are going to be severe. And not all of them can be caught by Google's internal staff.
I mean, because it's human. I mean, it's human nature. I mean, people are gonna miss a semicolon. They're not gonna close a you know, like something might happen or something larger, more complicated than that. But
something worse. I don't know. $2,000. Maybe $4,000 if you patch it yourself.
So if the highest possible bug is $2,000, and they could up it by 50%.
Well, they could up it by two times. If you offer a patch.
Well, yeah, no, but do the full math here. Hang on a second. Let me pull
that's 2,000.
So 2,000 is the highest one. Right. Then if they show a test case, they'll up that by about 50%. So that's 3,000. All right. And then if they can offer up a patch, then that amount gets doubled. So 6,000. So the most you can make here is $6,000.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood that. I thought that it was double the normal cost.
Yeah, me too.
Right? Right, yeah.
So if you would normally get 2,000, then it's doubling that. So it'd be 4,000.
4,000. Okay,
total.
Yeah.
Not like doubling the 3,000. But I see what you mean. Maybe it is because if you did that as well,
I found this
bug. They're like,
but
that doesn't matter because you offered a patch. So
I found the bug. I found a test case. I like how the security researchers aren't worrying about the bugs, but rather prove what they've proven, so they can get the most amount of money here.
Is $4,000 a lot for a security researcher?
Probably not.
I mean, do you think so? I don't know how much these people make.
I
don't know either. But I mean, based on most consulting tech jobs, it's a good amount of money, but it's not.
Listen, I will happily take $500 for a researcher. Yeah, exactly. How do I become a researcher?
Ron the researcher.
If anybody knows how I can get on their listserv, let me know. Just send me an email.
Is that all that needs to be done?
Yeah, you just join the listserv. Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see here. Speaking of security, Google, you may or may not have heard about this. It was kind of quiet after I.O. Quietly revamped Chrome's password manager during I.O. week and roped it into the Smart Lock service. We talked about Smart Lock a lot on the show. It's the really cool feature that allows you to kind of secure your device in a number of ways, like connecting it to a Bluetooth device. I have that with my watch or location. And boy, am I ringing. Let me mute my phone. Well, sorry about that. There we go. Well, storing passwords securely inside Smart Lock platform is now possible. Passwords.google.com is, you can go there and you can check all the passwords that are stored through the service. It's protected by two-factor authentication, shows all those passwords that you synced using the service. App passwords are also savable in some cases. That's if developers build support for the service into their apps. And an auto sign-on feature is also available for supported apps to make things easier.
So does this kill LastPass?
LastPass has some features that this doesn't have, for sure. Yeah. Some of the things this doesn't have, password generator, which I use all the time in LastPass to create really long, complicated passwords on the fly.
Yep.
And they're all different, you know. So this doesn't have that. No support outside of Chrome and Android apps, supported Android apps. So that could be a limiting factor. Well, no storage of other things like credit card information.
Well, why would it need to work on anything? Backing up, why would it need to work on anything but Chrome or Android apps?
You're trolling me right now.
No, I know, but I'm saying the Google point of view, like, why would they make it work? Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
But that would be a reason why you might stick with LastPass.
Yeah.
However,
if you're a LastPass user, you probably already know that LastPass had a security breach. Not everything was given. Not everything was potentially accessed, but everybody has been encouraged to change their master passwords. And if your master password isn't long and complicated, then you should really think about doing that.
Yeah,
definitely change it.
Mine was 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, that's
so
a good
I think I might want to. Yeah, I mean, it's the same as my luggage lock. So that's fine.
But, very nice, very nice. Do you use LastPass?
I don't.
No.
I use
any password manager?
No, actually I don't. I have my browsers remember my passwords with their own built-in password managers.
Yeah, I hate that. I just feel, I don't know. I mean, outside of this, has that ever been a secure
mostly
way
it's
to
Chrome, right? So mostly I'm basically using the features that they talked about at the IO.
Yeah, I see.
So I mean, it works, you know. It's the problem with like password managers is that I hop around platform to platform so much that it just, some of them not supported, right? And I think, again, it's like Google is one of the few, and this is what I love about Android and Google, is that it's one of the few platforms that is almost universal in terms of its reach, you know, in terms of native apps on iOS and Android, native, you know, web, really good web-based experience on any good HTML5 browser, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, once I'm in with my you know, highly secured and main Google account password with the two-step authentication, I can get to all my other passwords, and I think that's kind of where I'm at. I just feels cumbersome to add yet another layer, you know. And then with what happened this week, you're like, oh, well, I think I made the right decision. I mean, you're gonna say Google can be hacked, and you know what? You're right, and it's a chance I'm willing to take. But I bet you, of all the companies out there, I think they're more likely to be on top of that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they're paying security researchers to find any exploits.
See, we're back. Whoa. You turn it right back.
All security researchers are in the pocket of Google.
Right. Yeah,
well, in Google's pocket. in one way or another.
Maybe if LastPass had put out some cash, they would have avoided this. If Woody had gone to the police.
What's the other big one that a lot of people use?
OnePass.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them. I feel like there's even another one. But yeah, that's the other one that I hear a lot about is OnePass.
Yeah.
Haven't used that one. But.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. This is
all right. So
this is a good one.
In stories that should have happened 2 years ago, four sources in total actually told Reuters that BlackBerry is considering an upcoming device running Android. This pivot would be an effort to place new emphasis on software and device management, although it's unclear whether this would mean the company is ending BlackBerry 10 as its OS of choice. And I was not surprised by this, and I don't understand why it took this long. Because we've seen the slow inching of BlackBerry towards Android anyway. I feel like it's just like they're moving at a glacier pace and they're it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slippery slope, you know?
Yeah.
They finally hit that spot where they can't slide back up.
Yep.
And I honestly don't think, I mean, I think it makes perfect sense. And look, the reality is this, it's like Nokia, right? Before they got absorbed into Microsoft. They have an incredible amount of expertise in building really awesome hardware. Let's not kid ourselves, right? Like, I mean, lately, certainly their hardware hasn't been that exciting. The Leap is not a particularly exciting device. But the Passport, I think, is a spec-wise a very cool device. And they, if they put all that energy and effort and all these years of experience with building really rugged, high-quality phones that have really good radios, we would benefit in the Android ecosystem by having yet another manufacturer making devices.
Yeah, I mean, BlackBerry has a strong brand identity. At least they did. I mean, lots of people carried them for years and all this sort of stuff. And probably we snicker and joke about it, but the majority of people might not know what happened and be like, oh, BlackBerry's back. You know, like it was the kind of thing where I think that they could recover some by just shifting and not being married to their hardware.
People who really love a physical keyboard could theoretically get a BlackBerry running Android with a physical keyboard and be happy.
Yeah, I will say that prior to the Nexus One, I swore that I would never buy a phone without a physical keyboard because I had an HTC Windows mobile phone, and then I got the G1, and then I was like,
"Did you have a Droid? Did you get the original Droid?"
No. I went G1 to Nexus One. Right. Yeah. So
the BlackBerry brand has its fans primarily because of the hardware form factor, and also because of kind of the business,
there's that enterprise angle. But I think
does releasing a BlackBerry on Android satisfy what those people are looking for? I suppose it does from a hardware standpoint, because BlackBerry would still be doing the hardware. But is Android for enterprise strong enough?
Well, BlackBerry has solutions in place for you to use their BES and BIS stuff on Android already.
Right.
So. It just makes sense. Kind of like Knox, you know, Samsung solution. Mm-hmm. So I think, to me, it makes perfect sense. And as you said, like, should have happened a long time ago. I think this is great. I think that we could see some I would love to see a Passport form factor phone running Android instead of BB10, frankly, you know? I mean, that phone, whether you like it or not, spec-wise, is very similar to a upper mid-range phone today on Android. And, you know, has a form factor that is really unique and that some people really love.
Is that enough to save? I hate to use that word, but would that be enough to kind of change the direction for a company?
It wouldn't hurt.
Would it be enough to help?
They'll never have the dominance they ever had again, but it might make them relevant again. Now they're irrelevant.
The thing is, if you look at BlackBerry now, financially, they've been actually doing better in the last year because they're, supplying a lot of their QNX OS to car manufacturers for their in-car entertainment systems. They're, doing a lot of security enterprise software that's used on other platforms like iOS and Android. And so that's keeping them relevant and healthy financially. What's been abysmal is their phone ecosystem and their sales of phones. It's been dwindling. Honestly, doing this is at least going to potentially reduce the curve, right, of dwindle. Mm-hmm. What if they come out with that slider that they surprise us with at Mobile Congress?
Yeah.
What if that thing is, in terms of hardware, is really badass? Like, it might turn them around.
Yeah.
And as you said, markets like India, where BlackBerry is a huge brand,
yeah,
I could imagine if they could make like a mid-range BlackBerry Android phone that was affordable enough, like Moto E grade, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they'd have a pretty good chance to sell millions of those things.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps BlackBerry more than it helps Android, though.
Yes.
I don't think Android needs BlackBerry.
No.
So,
would a BlackBerry Android device ship with Google services, or would they go their own? Would they go rogue?
It better ship with Google services.
Well, yes. No, I mean,
yeah, BlackBerry wants to pay. I mean, imagine
BlackBerry would. But BlackBerry does, like, I'm not horribly familiar with BlackBerry OS. It's been a long time since I had a BlackBerry. Do they have solutions for all the things that Google has, all the cloud services and stuff like that? I would guess no.
No, I mean,
so they'd almost need Google.
You know,
right,
like,
out of the
I did the review for
Microsoft.
Microsoft. Right?
One of my first reviews on Before You Buy was the BlackBerry Classic, right? And it's the kind of like traditional BlackBerry form factor running BB10. And you know, like, you can install Android apps on it, but you don't have Google Play services. And, you know, sure, the built-in email client supports Gmail through IMAP. You know, I mean, all the stuff, like, think Windows Phone, right? you can connect to the stuff, like CalDev is supported for your calendar, but it's such, it's like on iOS. Would you use Apple's built-in calendar to do your Google Calendar? No, you'd go and install the Google Calendar app from Google on iOS because it's such a much better experience.
Right.
They don't have that.
It's tailor-made for
They don't have
it.
That on BB10.
Right.
So you, to me, if they do Android, they have to go all out and do Google Play services. Otherwise, you're dead to me, BlackBerry.
All right, cool. Let's see here. Before we hit our first sponsor, I just thought I'd kind of check in a little bit because I've been using Android M, you know, I think last week or the week before, I said that I had it on the Nexus 6 and there were a couple of things that were likely to pull me back over to Lollipop. Well, guess what? They've both been addressed in one way or another. First of all, somebody on Google Plus, it was Matt Wells, sent me a message. He said, I think I found the solution to Android Wear not working well in the developer preview of M. If you go into battery info and then on the menu, go to ignore optimizations. I selected Android Wear and ignored optimizations. After that, my Wear device stopped disconnecting. Maybe, or perhaps mine doesn't have the same issue as much. And sure enough, I did that. I went into settings for the app settings. And there's a whole, here, actually, I can probably skip to it real quick here. Let's see here, apps. We'll go to Android Wear. And then you get all of these different options in here. And is it permissions, I believe? No, it's not permissions.
That's the new permissions control.
Battery.
Yeah.
There we go. And then, shoot, why? I'm suddenly blanking on how to get there. Oh, no. No? Wait a minute. I don't know what I'm doing suddenly. I've completely forgotten what I'm supposed to be doing. There it is. Okay. It was right in the middle. I just totally overlooked it. Ignore optimization.
Now you know how I feel, Jason.
And I switched that to on, right? It was off initially. And basically what this means is it prevents Android Wear from hopping into that doze mode.
Oh.
And so it bypasses that.
Interesting.
And this was one of those messages that I got on Google Plus. I was like, yeah, I guess I'll try it. You know, whatever. That probably isn't it. I would have heard about that or whatever. Yeah. Sure enough, my watch connects now.
But that's a pretty deep setting.
Yes.
Right? You see,
It's not for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Android M is not for everybody.
True.
It's a developer preview.
But that's something they're going to need to figure out before the rollout, especially given Android. Yeah, okay. All right. That's all right.
And the other side was Evernote. Evernote's an app that I use all the time. It wasn't working. Evernote just pushed out an update. Ostroid has the story on that, but just yesterday they pushed out an update that makes it compatible with Android M preview. So I don't have to
You're
stop
in business,
using
right?
M.
You're right. In business.
And I don't want to because actually it's super stable. And now that those two things are solved, I wouldn't know any difference.
So now we all follow in your footsteps, grand leader.
I don't know. Are you going to put
it? I'm still waiting. You know me. I wait. I wait till it's official.
I might do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
You might as well. Yeah. I'm just saying. I've had a couple of people hit me up in different places like, should I just do it? I know the consequences. I'm like, yes, just
Ever
do
since
it.
My Art Dalvik, thing with, you, nope, I'm
you
done.
You went out on a limb on that
I
one.
I went out on a limb and I got burned.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. Before we get into hardware, let's thank the first sponsor of today's episode, and that is SmartThings. SmartThings has made it easier to turn your home into a smart home, easier than ever at this point. It's just such an awesome line of products. If you've dabbled with home automation in the past, you know it used to be wildly expensive to even get started. Most companies use proprietary systems. Each one of those has its own user experience, so they didn't work well together, and you know it's kind of hard to learn. SmartThings changes all that. The SmartThings Hub controls your lights, controls your locks, security, everything, through an awesome iOS, Android, or Windows Phone app. Because it's an open platform, this is the hub right here, this is kind of the brains of the operation. It's an open platform, so SmartThings works just as well with its own sensors, of which there are a lot, as it does with connected devices from other brands. This is the open-close sensor that you can put on your window so that you get an alert when the window's open and you don't want it to be.
Your mailbox.
This is the temperature and humidity sensor for measuring those things, and you can set different triggers and all that kind of stuff. Motion for security purposes. There's just so much you can do with this. You can really just use your imagination. Like I said, these are the SmartThing devices, but you can use DropCam. You can use Schlage locks, Honeywell thermostats. There's hundreds of other devices and brands that you can hook this up to. SmartThings is so revolutionary, it won the CES 2015 Editor's Choice Award. And like I said, it's basically you use your imagination, you can come away with a lot of stuff. Home automation, you can turn the lights on or off from your phone, so you don't have to go downstairs when it's bedtime. You can just turn it off from your bed right before you turn out the light. You can get alerts if there's unexpected movement or entry into your home, make it more of like a security solution. You can restrict electricity flow to electronics or your appliances after a certain period of time, save some energy that way. You can get an alert on your phone if suddenly there's a leak in your basement. You can use the water detection gear to get an alert on that. So it's really cool. You can piece it all together and just use your imagination and come up with some really cool things for your smart home. Right now, until June 30th, SmartThings is offering its three most popular kits at a discount for our TWIT audience. You get 10% off either the home security, the energy saver, or water detection kit. All you got to do is go to smartthings.com/android and use the offer code Android. Pretty easy to remember. It's the perfect way to get started with a smart home. For 10% off and free domestic shipping, go to smartthings.com/android. And don't forget to use the offer code Android at checkout. And I think you're going to like it. SmartThings is pretty cool stuff. And we thank SmartThings for their support of All About Android and the TWIT Network. And thanks to Ron for showing off the gadgets, the gear, the modules.
That was very well done, Ron.
He's had a little bit of experience.
Quite the hand
model. I've been expanding to hand modeling, actually.
So that's why you went to New York.
I couldn't talk about it until, there's an agency.
On the down low, but these hands.
Things are happening. Wheels are moving. Things are falling into place.
How do you get discovered for that?
Do you make more money than fixing bugs for Android from that listserv?
The great thing is doing both.
Economy requires
these hands are more than just a pretty pointing things. They can find the flaws and make the money.
That's how you've sharpened them. Your hand skills.
And it's a great story when the magazine covers me. It's great when Vogue calls finally.
Let's talk about a few things in hardware. All right, well, this is a hardware story by extension because Android One has been a pretty exciting hardware initiative that Google's done in the last year. Didn't get much of a mention at Google I.O., if you remember. It was a very passing mention. Recode had an interesting look from the inside based on sources that are pretty close to the project, citing that Android One's ambition of avoiding another, as Rico says, China, i.e. Android devices by and large and a very large company not running Google services, is failing in its goals, more or less. 700,000 Android One devices shipped in the first 100 days. That same number shipped over the next 5 months. Google's partnerships with national hardware partners lacked the scale, basically, that bigger players like Samsung would bring, resulting in devices in those regions that are even more aggressive on price than the Android One devices. And that's kind of been the crux of Android One is, we're bringing low-cost, high-performing devices. Not to mention the specs, the kind of requirements of a device to fall into the Android One kind of project means that all the manufacturers that make devices that do that all have such similar devices that there's no differentiation between them. So no manufacturer is really incentivized to do it. Micromax is one of the largest, more known manufacturers to get in on the Android One program. And I guess there's information from inside saying that Micromax really doesn't even push its Android One devices in favor of its other ones, and is likely not to do another Android One device as a result of kind of the way things have played.
That's pretty sad.
This sounds like just economic theories at work.
Oh, it totally is.
It's almost like a case study. It's like you roll out this thing, you set a price, and then the market responds. And I'm surprised that Google just hasn't thrown, much like the security flaws, hasn't thrown just a pile of cash at it to make it work. Like, I'm sure Micromax would do it if Google said, we're going to pay you to do this.
We'll incentivize you for every device that you push and sell. We'll give you an extra X amount of dollars or something. We're always, I feel like our solution as Google becomes this just massive behemoth is always, hey, Google, you've got the money. Just throw money at it.
That's the ultimate solution.
I don't know
solution.
If that's the ultimate. I don't know if that's the best solution for a company.
I don't think it is. But I mean, no. I mean, I'm kind of torn. I think the problem I see here is that, you know, ultimately, manufacturers are trying to differentiate in some way, right? So, I mean, if you keep them too, you know, too in a box, which I think in a way Android One does, it's really hard for them to get excited. Yeah. You know, and I'm all in support of Android One, you know, and phones like those devices, like the Moto E again, you know, they're great phones because they give you 90% of the experience you get with a high-end Android phone like a Nexus or something for, you know, like 50% of the price, basically. Mm. Who doesn't want that, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is that, you know, a lot of the big manufacturers like the LGs and Samsungs, they're just not interested because they don't even care about the quality of their product, right? They keep pumping out these really low-end, really crappy Android phones for the developing nations, and, you know, they're obsolete within, you know, the day they come out, basically. They're never going to get a software update ever unless they have, like, a critical flaw, right? And so I think that's what we have to break, and I don't know if Android One can break that. And I think this is one of the big issues with Android today, is that the only... You know, the only time you're going to enjoy Android is on a mid-end to high-end device today. Mm-hmm. And in many markets, that is not an accessible price point still. You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And so even Android One is still too expensive. Like, you have to go back to, like, Firefox phones almost in terms of pricing to be competitive, or what Microsoft Devices is doing with the super entry-level Lumias, like the 400 series, which we never see in the US, which look like these old Symbian touchscreen phones in terms of size and specs, and run Windows Phone. And so I think that's the thing, is like somehow it's not just enough to make Android One like a spec for manufacturers to follow. What I want to see Google do is really make it so that when Samsung takes M or Lollipop even and puts it on the cheapest hardware they make for India, it actually runs well. Mm-hmm. Even with TouchWiz on it. Because then, seriously, because then you have a chance to actually make the Android experience great for people who have no money and for those markets. But like, what they're trying to do is circumvent that by making a spec for the hardware that nobody is interested in following.
Right.
And in that
still
sense,
offering a layer of software that is accessible.
Lighter.
Right. And in that sense, I think Apple, you know, doesn't go there. They don't even try to do the low end, so they don't have that worry. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft really is the only one making Windows phones anymore at this point. Right. There's a few others, but they can go, because they own the software and the hardware, they can go all the way down to those 400 series Lumias that really, personally, I think are crap, but still offer a pretty decent experience. And so the day Google can actually sit down and get a version of Android out there that actually runs well on a single core 800 megahertz processor with 512 megs of RAM and a fixed focus 2-megapixel camera in the rear, then we win. But right now that doesn't exist.
Well, right, yeah, and then you got to wonder, can it exist? I mean, do you think that they would go down this path of Android One if that, like, do you think that they didn't?
Well, let me ask you this. Google showed at I.O. that they're working on a version of Android that's super lightweight for IoT. What was it called again?
Brillo.
Why not find a way to make a version of Android that might not have all the features, but runs properly on super, super low-end hardware? Like $20, $25, $30 price point unsubsidized handsets. Mm-hmm. I ask you that question. Google wants search results to fuel their profits. They want people to use their services. To me, it's a no-brainer that they need to go down there. And I think with hardware performance improving over time, right? The bare bones $20 phone actually maybe going dual core soon or whatever. Yeah. And Android optimizing the software, we're going to meet that point. And then Windows Phone is going to be in trouble because they won't be able to keep up.
Would Google not want to do that because it's like hardware, hate to use the word, but fragmentation right out of the gate, right? If you're offering phones... Compared to phones, but these phones do less than those phones because the hardware doesn't allow for it.
It's a fair question. I don't have the answer to that. Yeah. But in the same way as there's a lightweight Facebook Android app out there for developing markets that optimizes on data. And, you know, I think that this is, look, the goal is for Google, and they said it at I.O., they want to get the next 1 billion people online, right?
Right.
You're not going to do that with the kind of hardware that we're trying to promote right now.
Right. Even well, I think Google even thought that they were going to do that with, that with what they were promoting.
Well, even with a
Android
Moto
One,
E or a Moto G or an Android One device, that's still too expensive.
Yeah. Now, the other side of this is the fact that Google, we've seen in the past, doesn't always necessarily do things like this because they're motivated, you know, by sales purely. They could also just be doing this because they're trying to move the industry in a certain direction. If that's the case, is this effective? Like, by coming out with Android One and Android One not doing so well because there are other players that are doing it cheaper,
right,
more effectively, then has Google, is that a positive as far as this is concerned?
And are they getting to the
potential ambitions?
Are they getting to the goal even if it's not through their program? Right.
And is that satisfactory for Google as a company?
I think this is a bigger problem we need to discuss some point, maybe not right now, but it's the, is Nexus still relevant and worthy? Because here's the question, really, right? The question is, there was a time when Google needed to show hardware manufacturers how to make the ultimate phone. That's why the Nexus One was made, right? It was kind of like a shining light, a light shining on this is how you do a good phone. Mm-hmm. But you look at now, right? This phone, the G4 and the GS6, right? Even though they're skinned and they're basically deviating from the ultimate user experience, in my opinion, the ultimate user experience, which is a Nexus, they're so awesome. And so many of those apps at Google that make the Nexus so awesome are available to download now that I'm at the point where I don't really care about having a Nexus for the first time in many, many years.
Yeah.
And I'm questioning now whether this... You know, it's. I would like argue that Google, every time it tries to create a reference platform, it fails. The Nexus program is a failure. I hate to tell you.
It hasn't been.
Right?
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, from a pure sales standpoint, the Nexus program has never been a true success.
It did really well with the 4 and 5 because the prices were low. Not because of the phones themselves, per se.
Well, I'd argue the 5.
The five has been
the best of the bunch.
If they can give us a five based on this next or 5.5 inch version of the five Gen 2 5 in the fall, I'm on board. But right now, I'm telling you, if I had to pick an Android phone today, it would be a GS6 or a G4. Mm-hmm. I don't really care that I don't get the latest software and I can't install the M preview, frankly, because day to day they're so brilliant. Mm-hmm. Either
it
of them
just works. Yeah.
They just freaking work.
Yeah. Right. So. Yep. Agreed. Well,
interesting.
Kind of along those lines.
Well, speaking of, if you were trying to decide what phone to get, Google wants to help you, which I find kind of funny because, like, we talked last week about how Apple rolled out an app to help you switch from Android to iOS, and I like Google taking the opposite approach here of anyone who might be curious about Android, not sure what phone is the right one for them.
Josh, this site might be good for you.
Josh, you could be a test case here.
Yeah, hey, this is great.
If you go to android.com/phone/which phone, Google's made a nifty little experience for you to decide which phone's right for you.
I'm curious.
So, Josh, what is your new Android phone for? Is it for listening to music, taking photos, staying fit?
Man, you guys weren't kidding about switching me to Android on this episode.
Holy
cow.
Got a plan.
Expressing my style?
Man, I don't know what I want to do.
I like how talking is...
I talk on the phone a lot. I'm going to do that.
How often do you talk on the phone?
No, I don't know. I just call to order Chinese and stuff.
Right, 4 hours
what most
a day.
People do?
So lots of Chinese
this
food
is like,
ordering.
Lots of
like
Chinese.
This is like Android Choose Your Own Adventure. I like it.
Really.
Great. What else? What else do you do?
No, that's it. Just talking.
Texting is...
Okay, all right.
I'm trying this right now.
Parcel. 100 plus a day.
I guess I will, too. Take a photo.
So, Josh, what else do you do? Being productive?
I do social media.
All right, social media?
Not sure, actually. I don't know what that means. Not sure,
actually. They found matches for you. There it is. Show me phones.
I do some web browse. Oh, show me phones. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Who's your carrier?
T-Mobile. All right.
Ooh,
hey.
Look at that. You are the usual suspects.
Ironically. Serious. Shockingly, they suggest the Samsung
the
Galaxy
very
S-
best phones that exist.
Go back to that screen.
I did.
The Nexus 6, the G4, and the Samsung Galaxy 6, and the Edge.
What do you bet that the G4 or the S6 comes up for, like, every single thing?
Yeah, basically.
There's an arrow here. There's an arrow.
Let's see.
Oh, okay.
The Note 4.
Okay, that's also in the top contention.
And the S5.
Okay.
And the G2. Right, so these are just all the phones of T-Mobile, basically. Yeah. No matter what, you end up with an Android phone. That's the brilliance of this. It's great. Good job, Android marketing.
Let's
see here.
So listening to music. Show me photos. Phones. Listening to music. Sure. Built-in speakers and streaming services. And I'm just curious to see.
Jason is now doing it in case people.
So it showed me that you get. It showed me the M9, the Note Edge, the Note 4.
Be on the go.
Interesting. So I picked lots of music, lots of photos.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Rapid charging. I like that. Oh, I like.
It's a neat little site. Go check it out.
It's very cool.
Show me phones. Let's see here, T-Mobile and
the Nexus 6.
The Nexus 6, the Note 4.
All right, cool.
I'll take the Nexus 6. Thank you.
So,
thank you very much.
So anyway, so if you have a friend who's looking for a phone to get, they're curious, they're not sure which ones, point them in this direction. They can choose their own adventure with the help of Android's own Edward Packard, and they can find out what phone is right for them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
So,
pretty easy to use.
So the G4 came up in conversation when I was in New York. A friend of mine is shopping for a new phone, and he was on the phone with his T-Mobile rep, and they were pushing the G4 hard. And he asked he's like, "Is it a good phone?" And I was like, "Everything I've seen says it's awesome." So you've had it now for
a month and a half. So let's talk about that a little bit. I think I want to talk about the G4, but I also want to talk about GS6 and maybe the M9, because I mean, really, they're the three right now that people are going to be trying to choose out of, you know, from. If they're buying especially if they're buying a subsidized phone, right? And so the G4 is still my favorite Android phone, and I still think it's the one I would pick. So nothing's changed there. I think the camera edges out the GS6 a little bit, and for me, that's a huge deal. But, you know, now that the honeymoon phase is over, so to speak, I have some kind of negative feedback for LG that I want to share with you, the audience. This is my, maybe you can bring up the camera, the close-up, there you go. So this is my G4, and I've got, so this
leather
is a,
back.
This is a Korean model with the leather back that I swapped from my T-Mobile phone, just so you know. So what I'm finding is that if you look here, I don't know if you can zoom in digitally or whatever,
but
in the corner where my finger is, you might be able to see that it's starting to wear out. The leather is discolored and frayed.
See, but are you surprised?
And this is not fallen, this corner. This corner's fallen, so it's unfair. These two corners have not been dropped. And look, you can clearly see.
But that's purely friction from putting it in your pocket.
It's purely. But my point is, this is not a. And this happens to a lot of LG phones where the corners, the soft touch finish on the Nexus 5, the paint on the Nexus 4 fade after some time.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. But this is. Like, normally it takes 6 months, a year for that to
happen.
This
has been a month and a half.
This has been a month and a half of heavy use.
I feel like, you're getting a phone with a leather back.
No. Look. Yeah. Look. It is. Leather is a premium material. Yeah. And B. This is a $650 unlocked flagship, okay?
Right, but you can't change the physical properties of leather. I mean, like
that's
like,
true.
Like you're gonna get a piece of leather and constantly push it in and out of your thing.
It's I have a lot of leather things, and they don't wear quite that fast.
Okay,
I think personally, I'm not a huge fan of leather on the phone because you use it. It changes environments so much. Like leather on clothes. If it starts to wear, it's almost like a characteristic. You know what I mean? It's almost like, it has character.
Yeah,
this shows where I've been with my leather jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Leather on a phone, I just have to imagine that wear doesn't look endearing.
And
you know
does,
what I mean?
This that's exactly
I think
what I'm
that's kind of what
and
you're saying.
And that's why
that's what leather does. So if you don't like it does that, don't get leather.
And that's why that high-end luxury phone went with the Mocha Dial.
Yeah, right.
And not the leather.
And the other thing I want to say is...
Those colors don't run. Mocadale colors don't run.
You know that I don't like plastic phones very much. And of course, the frame on the LG G4 is plastic. But I've dropped this once now onto concrete in the corner, in one corner. And all that happened was the plastic got flattened in that corner.
Right.
And which basically it did its thing at protecting the entire phone from shock by basically being a crush zone, like in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't in any way affect the functioning of the phone. So that's, you know, I've really used this phone more than most of the phones that I review because I really have had it as my daily driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I have
and
to
you've
say,
enjoyed
and
the
I've
camera,
traveled,
and
like I've traveled are, all over
traveled,
the place.
You've got a lot of reasons to use
and
it.
And so I have to say that it's holding up pretty well other than this corner wear thing. And again, you're right. It's patina, but like it's unfortunately not just a discoloration, which is what I'd expect, but it's actually starting
to wear,
wear, and another month or two, it's going to probably start peeling off.
Yeah,
and to
it's,
me,
it's true Android wear,
right? Yeah. But to me, that's
it's Android wear.
It's
there.
A bit weird for a $650 phone. Now, the plus side is that these are case, these back covers are replaceable, right? Oh, yeah. It's not like the GS6; you can just put a new cover on, and if you want one that doesn't wear out and get patina, you get the plastic one. Done. So I guess it's not that bad. But I still think LG needs to work on using better materials and a better build quality, especially on a flagship. That is my only drawback on this phone. This is such an amazing device. And then let's talk about the other two a little quickly. The M9 just got a software update, the one I have, which is the EMEA version, the European market version. And they've further improved the camera. So a lot of the things I had said about the camera where you have to kind of tweak and create a custom setting to get good low-light performance is now done for you.
Nice. Right.
So they are really working on it. They're still missing OIS, which is a disaster in my opinion. And then as far as the GS6 goes, you know, I haven't used it quite as much as the G4, but my GS6 is a Sprint model. It's holding really well in terms of wear and tear. Obviously, metal and glass, you can't go wrong. If you don't drop it, I haven't dropped it.
That's the,
if you drop the big, it, it's going to start looking scarred like an iPhone would or whatever. But, you know, again, you can't go wrong with the GS6. I think it's a great phone, but battery life is definitely an issue with my GS6. I don't know if it's just because I'm a Sprint model and the Sprint network kind of sucks, frankly. Mm-hmm. We all know that. And maybe it takes more power to always try to get the LTE connection working and that spark or whatever they call. I don't know what your experience has been, but for me, I think the GS6 couldn't be a daily driver because the battery life would definitely be a problem.
I noticed that. But, you know, at the same time, the fast charging has really kind of redefined what I feel like I need out
of
the battery.
But here's the thing. This guy has fast charging, too. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's not official, but
so, but yes, I do know what you mean. The S6 was all over the map as far as battery performance was concerned. But the fact that it had fast charging was enough of a fix for me to kind of overlook it because I always plug my device in throughout the day, even if it lasts. Although
I would pick
Bamboo.
I have
to say the Nexus 6 has been doing so good on battery that I haven't been as much because Doze has just been kicking butt.
Somebody on IFC says Bamboo or leather. I'd actually pick Bamboo probably, but honestly, frankly, what I'd pick is a phone like the GS6 or the iPhone 6 that is made out of metal and or metal and glass that might lose a removable battery but still keeps the SD slot like the M9 and has slightly bigger battery than GS6, and I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, I've been playing with an M9. I got one before I left, and I was playing with it in New York, and I'm just impressed, you know, going from a Nexus 5 with the rubbery plastic kind of back to the M9. Like it feels better. It feels rougher. And so, like, if that's a concern for you, then that – when you're doing your phone picking, you know, knowing the material and the involvement and how you use it, knowing that the M9 with a metal body might be a little more.
I have to say that the leather feels really nice in hand. Yep. And so, sure, it wears, but it really feels ergonomically happy and appealing. And again, the camera on this thing, wow. I mean, I was in Iceland for 2 weeks on a holiday, and I took pictures with that and the GS6 and my Fujifilm. And every time I took a picture, it blew my mind. It was just like, wow, look at the amount of detail and everything is just so. And here's the thing, you guys know that I shoot manual a lot. I didn't. Wow. I set it in auto and I just let it go. And I put it on HDR by default because I found that, especially in Iceland, there's so much dynamic range and the colors and everything that I just wanted it the best possible. And wow, that's all I have to say.
Nice,
very cool.
So you can.
Honeymoon, you're pretty happy. Yeah. It just sounds like
still a recommend.
It's still absolutely a recommend. And
sounds like it's your pick. So, period.
It would be my phone today. I mean, honestly, right now, if I had to buy a brand new phone for myself, I'd buy a T-Mobile version of this. Probably not with the leather back. Now that I've experienced it.
So this over the S6.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
You know, and I feel torn because the S6 is much more. Beautiful. Like, I mean,
I really like the
fingerprint sensor. The metal, the quality, I don't know, but for me, the fingerprint reader on the S6 doesn't.
I noticed you aren't using that.
It doesn't work.
Like, man, it worked for me.
Every
really well.
Once or twice in 10 times does it recognize me, and my iPhone is pretty much every time.
Wow.
So I don't know why, and maybe it's the software update that Sprint Push fixes that, but I don't know.
When you learned your fingerprint, did you memorize it at different angles and all that?
I tried it several times. I tried relearning the, you know.
Weird. And I had nothing but great experience.
Really?
Yes.
Worked well, let me try time. It again because I know that they've pushed a couple of
fingers. Maybe you have shallow finger marks.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe it's like the playing. Or
are,
music.
You, yes. are you in the witness protection program?
Yes.
Yeah, see, there you go. All right.
All right, we learned something today. Okay.
So moving on. We got an email. Arch writes in with some frustration over Google All Access. I've been an All Access subscriber for quite some time, and recently and All Access is the all yeah, is Google the Play. Subscription Google Play, Play Music, Music All Access, so just to clarify that. So Arch has been a subscriber for a while, and he said, over the last few months, my family and I have rotated through quite a few devices and PCs, and now I'm left with only one or two devices that are even authorized for my All Access subscription, and I don't really have any want to carry them around in addition to my new tablet or phone. Question, if I cancel my account, then let it expire, then say wait a month for a good measure, then sign back up, do you or any of the other AAA listeners have any idea if the device is reset?
Don't do that.
This is another case. I mean, we ran into this with when I cracked my phone, my Nexus 5 phone, stuff like that. If you call Google, they will help you.
Or email them.
Yeah, exactly.
Email support. Go to the Play Store. So, there's a place.
I got the directions here. So you want to go to the Google Play Help Support page. Okay, and then click Contact Us in the upper right corner. Then choose Music. And then click Problem Playing Music. And then choose Request a Call. And then what will happen then is that, and this is coming from a CNET article, so we thank them for doing it. So they will then, you'll complete a call request page by you give them their phone number, then someone will call you, and then they said it took about 60 seconds to explain the issue, and they zeroed out all their authorizations, and then you're back to good as new.
And so, I've done it once, so I can say that it works.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure anyone that reviews Android devices to any degree has probably done it at least once.
They were very much like, don't ask again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very much a, like it's similar. It sounds similar when I got my phone replaced. It's like, oh, well, we're not supposed to do this, but I'll help you this time. So it sounds like you got a one shot at it, but who knows if they keep track
of
that.
It might be more than one,
yeah.
I mean, what's odd to me is that there wasn't this limit for the longest time. You know, like I discovered it when I was at Mobile World Congress, actually. Yeah. And I was like, wait, what? And then they did the reset, and now I've been more careful. But at the time, I was just like going through phones, like deleting
it was part
phones.
Of, it was part of my review process to install Play Music on whatever device I was reviewing because I wanted to use my review device the way I use any of my devices and live with it. Yep. And now I don't do that, which is kind of a shame because that's also a draw on battery, and it's a great way for me to test my own personal real-world experience. But I don't do it because I can't run up against that limit anymore.
They need to change that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It's
does
like,
it suck for everybody, though, or does it just suck for us? Because
I think that's a little bit of that, yeah.
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 I don't know.
I don't think it sucks for everybody, although this is a case where it does. Someone who's gotten new PCs, gotten new phones, gotten new tablets.
I just don't understand the rationale behind it. That's the thing. It wasn't there, then they added it, and the question I have is why?
Right.
Why do you guys think they added that?
It's got to be some sort of label, like the you know the agreements or something like that. You know, like this idea of a device. You know, like some part of the contract, they've got to show that they're limiting the amount of access that is actually happening in this All Access.
Well, but the thing is, they let you sign up as many devices. It's just removing them that's a hassle.
Right.
So
you know they're trying to curb one person signing up for it and then sharing it with every member of their family or whatever.
And the problem
with that is that they're not doing what other services are doing, which they're not offering a family plan or some sort of shared connection plan. Of which, by the way, Google, if you did that, I would totally sign up for it. And then it would be, I'll be totally legit. I'm happy
Google,
with that.
Google, I got my fingers, my eyes on you.
My fingers are in my eyes, and they are upon you, too.
That's right. That's it. Thank you. I did that wrong, didn't
I? Yeah, no, that's totally how it goes. Let's thank the second sponsor of today's episode, and that would be LegalZoom. LegalZoom, I've used LegalZoom for years In my own personal experience, used LegalZoom right about the time our first daughter was born to get a will and testament. And it was super easy, super awesome. This was well before I even worked at Twit. And hey, what do you know? We're lucky because we have LegalZoom as a sponsor, and I just think they're great. There are many reasons if you happen to, you know, want to start a business, there are just a number of resources that you can get to that you can access through LegalZoom. It's why smart business people trust LegalZoom. LegalZoom will help you incorporate or form an LLC to start your business or form a nonprofit. You can register a trademark to protect your products and your services. You can apply for a patent so you can secure your invention. Over the past decade, more than 1 million people just like you have started with LegalZoom. Did you also know that LegalZoom is your first stop when you need advice from an attorney? Now, LegalZoom is not a law firm,
So they built a network of independent attorneys in most states to provide legal advice and other useful services to help you run your business as well. Whether you need a contract reviewed or advice on whether you should incorporate or form an LLC, whatever your legal question is, you can start with LegalZoom. They provide complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So make the smart choice for your business. All you got to do is go to LegalZoom.com today, and don't forget to enter AAA at checkout to save even more. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support. Legal help is here, and it's LegalZoom. So check it out. All right, let's take a look at a few app stories.
So, once upon a time, app stories kind of sounds like I'm going to read.
We're going to read a fairy tale, a book. Honestly, this functionality sounds like it's straight out of a fairy tale.
It's dreamy.
Google Maps for Android now warns you if your destination might be closed by the time you're scheduled to arrive, based off current traffic conditions. How amazing is that?
This is one of those features that when I read it, I was like, of course you never thought about that. But that's really, why couldn't they do that?
Yeah, like if you search for a business, more often the card that you get about the business has their hours. If you type in their destination is that business, why wouldn't Google Maps be able to tell you that, hey, you know, it's going to take you a half an hour to get there. They're going to close in 5 minutes. Like, that's
just
great.
Saying.
That's awesome.
No, it's cool. I know somebody. Don't worry about that, Google. Well, so this obviously relies on Google having the right information when it comes to store hours.
Dicey,
and I wonder how accurate that is.
I mean, it's dicey. I think it's dicey on Yelp, and that's got a better database of reviews and ratings and data than Google does. I wish it was the other way around, to be honest, as a heavy Android and Google services user, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't know.
Cool.
Speaking of driving.
Driving.
Yeah, okay, so up his sleeve here.
This is going to be a little dicey here, but I think this is pretty darn cool, and I was able
to get it working before.
Okay, so Head Unit for AAA is a new app. Hold on, don't take the over-the-shoulder because I have to enter a password here. And what does it do? Well, they call it Head Unit for AA because Google Play rules dictate that they cannot actually put Android Auto in there. Basically, what it does, if you take my over-the-shoulder shot here, it allows me to turn a supported tablet, in this case, a Nexus 7 2013 edition, into an Android Auto receiver.
This is what you've been waiting for.
So this is interesting.
Awesome.
So let's see if we can replicate this. I discovered it through XDA, and there's an app in the Play Store called Head Unit for AAA. So the process.
AA.
Head Unit for All About Android.
For a moment, so easy to do. For a moment, I thought someone made the app because somebody you were complaining about it, and so it was like Head Unit for AAA. Like, we asked and
somebody
you delivered.
Somebody needs to have like a picture of your head on the icon.
So I thought the AAA community was stepping up for you, Jason.
Yes, they should have.
So you plug it in, and then
So you want Head Unit installed on the tablet, which it is. There's the icon. Android Auto installed on your phone. Make sure your phone has USB debugging active, which I do. I'm going to unplug this for a second. You plug the USB OTG cable into the tablet or whatever, adapter. I really hope this works. I was able to get it to work one time in like 10 tries before the show.
I wouldn't have said that out loud.
I'm not reviewing this in the arena. It's cool. Believe me, I thought about it, that I was like, no, this is sure to fail. You plug your normal USB cable into the phone. Go ahead and plug this into the OTG connector. Make sure it's facing the right way. Hopefully it is. Now, hopefully, something will happen, okay? So that happened. This is the actual app, Head Unit. Sometimes I got to do this, and then after a while, it finally kicked in into the thing. So no doubt about it. This is a total hack at this point.
Do you think it has something to do with the fact that your OTG adapters are like a little janky and disconnects maybe partially?
No, because I have another OTG adapter.
And no go.
And it worked sometimes as well and not all the time. So let's try this again. I really want it to work because it was kind of cool. Suddenly I had Android Auto on my phone or on my tablet. Come on, do it.
There you go. Yep.
There you go. Something's happening.
Yep.
Something's happening.
Oh,
hey.
Yeah.
Boom. Straight up, Android Auto. Let's get it off that screen.
But there you go. I'm not going to navigate around the interface very much because it's tied into my account, so it shows a lot of my things in it.
But that's so cool.
But there you go. Awesome.
And so then on your phone now, it just says Android Auto and you can't use your phone, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
It says Android Auto.
What if I texted you?
Let's try it.
And so basically, you can remote control your Android phone just like you would on an Android Auto head unit by using the tablet as a head unit.
Yes, which is something that Google doesn't allow you to do.
I know, I'm stating the obvious.
Oh, okay, all right.
Just reinforcing the point.
That is exactly true. Hey, there you go. New message, Hangouts.
So get it to read it. Get it to read out loud because that's one of the functionalities, right?
Okay. Where'd it go?
Try it again.
Try it again.
Do it again. Does it read it out loud automatically?
I don't know. I think you might have to tap on it. Oh.
Tap on it.
Here's the message. Hey, Jason, nice car. Try it again. You can press the voice button and say reply.
Oh. Press the voice button and reply.
That's the voice button.
Reply to Ron.
If you just said something, I didn't understand.
You didn't work.
Try
you
again.
Promised
Try
so
again.
Much. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. No, I don't think it's passing through.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's odd.
Think of it this way. Proof of concept.
But you know what? This is good because if you have an older car,
yeah,
you know.
No, a lot of people turn their
And these old tablets are like just sitting in freaking drawers. I know, it's great.
So, there you go. The app is called Head Unit 4AA. It does not require a rooted device. It kind of seems like it should. You just have to make sure that your developer options are active in your settings. There are plenty of
like the titles, Head Unit for AA Experimental.
Yeah. It's totally experimental.
It's so cool.
There is a cost for it. It's $6.79. So it's a costly app, but I think what you're doing is, you know, you're
maybe
telling
I'll
the developer, yes,
it.
Keep going. Keep
maybe,
going.
Maybe I'll try it for my camper van.
That didn't work.
Whoops.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah.
Actually, it's $8.79.
Okay, so that's pretty expensive, but you know, whatever. It's experimental.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Come on. It's the price of 2 lattes. Come on.
Yeah.
That's neat. That's super neat. If I had a car, I would.
It's cheaper than a, what is it? The entry-level head units, like $600?
Cheaper than buying a Hyundai, that's for sure. Yeah.
So. Cheaper than buying a Pioneer, entry-level head unit for $700. So this is the starting point. We'll see where it leads to, but that's interesting.
Cool.
I like it.
So what's also interesting is an upcoming update to the camera app. It's rumored that it will likely bring burst mode finally to camera app. This is version 2.5 of the Android camera app. Not only will we get burst mode, but will likely be a smarter type of burst. The app will analyze your stream of burst images based on a number of details extracted from the photos, as well as facial recognition to determine the best or highest scoring images from the lot. The user can pick from there, and the rest can easily be deleted.
Wait, does that actually mean that you'll be able to take decent photos with your Android phone using the default Android app?
Well, time I doubt
time
it.
You'll we'll be able tell. To take. You'll be able to take the same pictures, just but a lot of them,
and then pick
the best one, and then delete the rest.
That was a slam because honestly, the Android camera app is a freaking disaster
compared to the capabilities of other camera apps,
and compared to even like manual camera or third-party apps.
Right.
It's sad. It's just sad. Like, how can they get
that
right?
Yeah, I always go back to it, but it's just out of pure habit.
It's so funny because I was at a show in New York. I saw The Refused, and I was taking a picture, and I was using manual camera because I wanted to change the ISO and the lighting, whatever, because I was getting – I'm like, this is going to give me the best kind of shot with my phone. And then I looked at my friend who admittedly had an iPhone and took, like, way better pictures just pointing and shooting. And I'm like, for the moment, even though I'm not a big photography person, I'm like, I want to take good pictures. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I like about the G4 and GS6. Yeah. It's kind of iPhone 6 level of, like, perfect every time.
Yep.
Okay, I'm not going to – don't worry, Josh. I'm not going to do every single link here.
There's a lot of info here.
All About Android super fan Marlon Thompson, the guy from Trinidad, hit us up in the All About Android community on Google+, because there were a lot of announcements at E3 that had Android – kind of hooks, Android details.
So those who might not be in the know, E3 is happening this week.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. This is the big video game
extravaganza. The Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Exactly. So.
Hence 3Ds.
So you had Microsoft, you had PlayStation, you had all the big companies making big presentations. So what did Marlon tell us about?
A couple of things that stood out. I didn't get a day two update. Sorry, Marlon, if you sent that, I didn't get it in time. But day one, there were a couple of neat things I thought. Everybody seemed to be talking about the Fallout Shelter game.
Fallout
Fallout 4. With a Pip-Boy from the game.
That's so cool.
That works with your phone, so very cool for fans of the Fallout series. But I'm interested in Fallout Shelter, which is kind of like a mobile version of Fallout, kind of along the lines of like Sim People or Little Computer People or whatever, but inside a Fallout Shelter kind of world. The downside to this, of course, being that it's released on iOS. It's coming to Android soon. Right. But it is coming, and I can't wait to play it.
I think it's interesting to see that a big game release getting a mobile component. You know, like I think it's becoming more than just this is the game. Here's the game, and you could do this on your phone, and you know, like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's see here. He says, not really a fan of Payday. I've never heard of Payday. Of course, I'm not the hugest gamer in the world.
Yeah.
Which is a shooter franchise, but there is a mobile version of that coming. Torchlight. Has a couple. Let's see here. What's this? Perfect World's bringing its Torchlight PC action RPG series to mobile devices.
So there's a lot of bridging from.
A lot of kind of crossover stuff. No Walking Dead 3, but we're getting a version, a game about Walking Dead dedicated to Michonne.
Yep.
Character from The Walking Dead. And Michonne's a pretty awesome character. Star Wars card game. So,
they're trying to jump on the Hearthstone kind of bandwagon. I would play. I mean, like, I don't play Hearthstone, but I'd play the heck out of a Star Wars game like that. Yeah. So,
it's cool.
Yeah.
And Shield is, by and large, the Android TV device.
NVIDIA Shield.
Right now, the NVIDIA Shield Android TV. And it has some updates that it announced during E3, bringing 4K video streaming improvements, that kind of stuff. So.
Yep.
Some cool announcements at E3. I know that there was Nintendo's thing today. I'm not sure if there was a mobile aspect. I'm sure there was to Nintendo's announcements. But there we go. Marlon, thank you for keeping us posted on E3 because I outside of Fallout Shelter, I really haven't paid very much attention.
Forget the Razer acquiring Ouya.
That
does touch on Android, so that's
Yes, Razer acquired Ouya, and so
was what else is there numbers? To say? Ouya finally, they did say anything about the amounts of money they paid.
Then it's less than 50. Then
it's like $12.
It was probably I would guess somewhere in the 10 to 25 million range. That would be my guess, given everything they've built and all the IP and stuff like that. Yeah. Anything more than 50 million, they need to disclose because of SEC. So you think?
Look at the guy with the information here. I didn't. Oh,
when you live in this town for a couple of years, you learn things.
I never learned that.
He's connected.
Apparently,
that's how you can gauge the bragging of acquisitions.
So Razer Android TV, from what I understand, I haven't used it personally. It was not the best Android TV device in the world.
Yeah.
Ouya.
Ouya, Ouya, Ouya.
Had some power behind it initially when it was a Kickstarter, and then it kind of fizzled out.
Well, because they didn't have the games.
They didn't have the games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is this a good...
So what does it really mean, right? I mean, Razer is more of an Intel Windows house, right? Like, most of their devices are... I mean, so far, NVIDIA has really been pushing the Android gaming stuff with the Shield series, right? Yep. So maybe it's their kind of entrance into Android gaming by... You know, they probably have more resources than Ouya to make this a thing.
Right.
Or maybe they just want, you know, to... maybe they're not trying to do what Ouya did, which is to create an entire ecosystem of games for a new Android-based platform, home console. Maybe they'll do like an NVIDIA Shield-type home console that's Razer-branded that runs existing Android games. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll find out.
Who knows? Yep. Who knows? Who knows? So. Interesting, though. I was kind of wondering how long it would be before somebody bought Ouya.
Well, yeah. Well, they had been... I mean, we reported about a month ago that they were on the market.
They've just been, sitting there, sitting duck. Like.
Yeah. So I'm glad it finds a home. I feel like there was a lot of good thinking and a lot of good people involved in the Ouya project, so I'm glad to see that they're not just dead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank our last sponsor for sponsoring All About Android, Lynda.com. Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to take better photos, learn to develop an Android app, master Photoshop, or sharpen your HTML skills. Lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind. If you're looking to strengthen your business skills, some of the new lynda.com courses I recommend are Google Drive Essential Training, Writing Proposals, Communicating with Confidence, and their Mobile for Business tutorials, which show you how to use your Android device for work and boost your productivity. There's even a lynda.com course for about asking for a raise. I'm going to watch that, then talk to Jason. Recently, I've been brushing up on my coding skills, and I took a couple of lynda.com courses on SQL and on Python and stuff like that. It was really great, you know, to kind of dust off my, you know, kind of my code monkey skills, and lynda.com got me right back in the game very quickly. The videos are awesome to watch. The supporting materials are great. Lynda.com really is a great place to learn. So listen, if you sign up for a lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from the top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule. You can learn at your own pace. Courses are structured so that you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. Browse each course transcript to follow along or search for an answer and skip to that point. Take notes as you go and refer to them later. You can download the tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on your Android or iOS device. Create and save playlists of courses you want to watch, customize your learning path, or share with friends, colleagues, and team members. It's all there waiting for you to come and learn and be a better person. So what you want to do is go to lynda.com and sign up for their membership, which will give you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid and sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid, and we thank them for their support.
Lynda is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Makes you smarter.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm not very smart, and I learned.
See, if Ron can learn, anybody. Not true, dude.
It's not nice.
You are smart.
No, but they're great. The videos are awesome. And yeah. And I mean, no BS. I was reteaching myself SQL and SQL awesome. And stuff like that. Yeah, so it was pretty good. I got stuck, and I went, and I jumped to a thing.
As for me, I would be starting from ground from the very beginning.
Yeah, well, the problem is that I never got formal programming training.
Yeah.
I took programming in high school, and I scammed my way through it, and then I didn't take any other courses, and everything I've ever done has been always self-taught. Mm-hmm. And so, I've got little bits, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how to drop a table, but, when you actually want to do something, you need to know more than that.
Yeah, do something complex or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I programmed text games in BASIC on my Commodore 64.
That's cool.
Does that qualify me to be an Android developer?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
Cool. Java is almost like programming in BASIC anyway. Slam!
So you get the concept.
Yeah.
I mean,
I understand what the word programmer means. So you're right. I do get the concept.
Listen, it's all about those semicolons. That's what I'm finding out. I'm finding out that those brackets mean something.
Speaking of SQL, you know what is amazing is that we are all carrying tiny little devices that run a full-blown SQLite implementation every day.
Yep.
I mean, if you had told me that 20 years ago, I'd be like, boom!
Yeah, the world runs a SQL. It's crazy.
No, but there is a local, most of the apps store their data in SQLite database on Android and iOS nowadays.
Yeah.
We're actually running a tiny little database server in this thing. Holy crap.
The future's a pretty cool place. My daughter is going to learn how to drive and probably won't have to drive the entire vehicle because it's going to drive for her.
It'll be self-driving.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, kind of a change from when I learned how to drive.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The future. We live in the future. It's kind of a crazy thing.
But you know, it's interesting. As an aside, it's an anecdote, but it's true. I'm kind of amazed at people that don't understand basic things these days. I had I bought this camper van and the windshield wiper relay broke on it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a box that you remove from the fuse box, and inside is a bunch of sometimes electronic things that basically say, when the stock is in this position, actuate the windshield wiper at this speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can replace that box for $15, right, with a new one. But people don't even understand that it's just a little black box that just does this one thing. Because modern cars, all of that is done by the whole computer system.
Brains, right.
The brains, by the right?
Brains.
But back in those days, it was all modular. You could go this tiny little box just does my windshield wiper. And for $15, I can replace it.
One of my early cars is a 1979 Capri Classic station wagon that was a tank. And you could get in the engine. The engine was, I remember climbing into the engine to change spark plugs. And it's now you can't do that.
Your car breaks down. Get in the engine.
What amazed me was that the young mechanics I was talking to, they just didn't know. They're like, what is that black box you just pulled out of the fuse? I'm like, you're a mechanic. Like, that's like, that's how they did it 20 years ago. Have you not looked at a car that's 20 years old?
It was pretty hilarious. Much mechanic. Yesterday's mechanic will be today's like
software engineer.
Yeah, computer science engineer.
Yeah, it's great.
All about auto.
Yep.
Our new show.
Hey, I know what we could do. We could show off some apps in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
See, we need Josh to redo the voiceover for that just for today's episode.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the training wheels thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
That was crazy. That really sounded like the normal bumper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Josh.
So Miriam, you'll like last week's arena poll.
What
happened? I brought a Microsoft app and it kicked butt.
Office Lens.
Hey, I'm not that much of a dynamic self. It was Office?
You've seen Office
it was Office Lens.
Lens.
Right?
Yeah.
Office Lens.
It's cool, huh?
It's very cool. And I was shocked to see it get all the support.
It resonated 66%.
That's amazing.
That's pretty intense.
Yep.
That's quite a win right there. You Must Build a Boat was Florence's app. That came in second at 20%. Goalie came in last at 14%.
Scroll down and vote, Josh. Vote for Office Lens.
I'm going to vote for Office Lens.
Yeah, because Office Lens needs another vote.
So we can see the percentages. Yeah, vote on one so we see the percentages.
Let's just say that goalie was in the hundreds, and now it's in the thousands.
There you go. I got to believe you.
If anything, it got some exposure.
Yeah, but wow, 66%. I think that might be my strongest win.
That's a very strong win.
That's
and we knew that very early on. Like, it was obvious from right afterwards. It was like,
And that's the thing. It's like, you know me. I'm loathe to pick a major release by a major developer. Like, we never do Google apps. We never do whatever. But I thought Microsoft was on the fringe, and the fact that the app was just so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good stuff.
All right, that leaves us with this week's roundup of apps. And because I am the big loser, I'm going to go first. Mine is an app by someone you've heard of, undoubtedly, if you've watched this show for any length of time, Pushbullet, the Pushbullet team. Pushbullet is like the best thing in the world.
It
keeps getting better. They're teasing something right now. Their next update supposedly is going to be really huge. Artem Rozakovsky of Android Police was teasing on Google Plus because he's seen it apparently, and he says, yeah, it's a big deal. So cool things coming out of the Pushbullet team. But they actually today released something that isn't Pushbullet. It's a separate app called Portal, not the game. Boo-hoo. But it's called Portal Wi-Fi File Transfers. And basically what it is, it's a low-friction way to get files from your computer to your phone. So I'm going to try and show this off.
Without a cable.
Wow. Yes. It uses your Wi-Fi access.
But doesn't Pushbullet do part of that already?
Pushbullet does. But here's the difference. Pushbullet does it through the cloud, right? And it's not good for large files.
Oh, right.
So this uses your local Wi-Fi.
Ah, peer-to-peer.
Yes, exactly. Local Wi-Fi. So I'm on my computer right here. Let me...
So it's basically like... let me see.
Here. Okay. All right.
So it's like AirDrop, but... for non-iOS devices. Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, so I'll launch Portal. Done. Okay.
I was wondering when somebody would do that.
So here's Portal on my phone. I pull up portal.pushbullet.com on my browser. I go scan. It gives me my QR. It captures it. Now I'm connected.
Huh.
Right? So now I go ahead and drop that file over here.
That's cool.
And there it is.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Done.
Whoa.
I got it in my file directory. I transferred a photo of Leonard Nimoy. So
As you should.
As you should.
It was pretty important. That's as easy as... Yeah.
Like AirDrop.
Awesome.
It just works.
Okay.
It
works. I've never used AirDrop.
You win.
Okay.
You win.
Do I win?
Yeah, you win.
That's all? Right.
Seriously.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Ron's app might blow my mind, but I know my app sucks.
All right. Well, let's hear about it then.
So it syncs them through your local Wi-Fi, whatever it's connected to, kind of, you know, connects them to each other through that
Wi-Fi.
Very cool. And it's good for large files. And yeah.
I'll preface this by saying that the only reason I'm showing you this app is because it solved a problem for me.
Yep.
That's it. It's not, there are many Wi-Fi managers and Wi-Fi scanners on the apps in the Google Play Store. I haven't tried them all. So here's the deal. I have a GS6 on Sprint, Galaxy S6. And for some reason, the 6 and 6 Edge, I have both on Sprint. For that firmware does not let you remove networks you've added to your Wi-Fi list. It's missing that save network submenu that is now part of Lollipop that lets you say, I added this one, I want to remove it. Forget it, right? And I don't know why they did that. So I Googled it. Nobody seems to have a solution as to how to enable this back or whatever. So I thought to myself, oh, if it's Android, I'm not on an iOS device. There's somebody, an app that does that, right? So I typed Wi-Fi Manager in the Play Store, and a bunch of them came up. I looked at the pictures or the screenshots to see if they had more or less what I wanted.
Yep.
And then I looked at the permissions when I tried to install to see if it was going to steal my entire contact list, text me some spam and whatever, right? And I found this one called Wi-Fi Connection Manager, which I will show you guys. And it's right there. Like, can I have the overhead cam? So it's right here. And, you know, so it shows you the networks. But look, I've got a bunch of networks down here that are not, that are stored, these two here.
You got a lot of networks.
And I can, you know, go disable or delete this network.
Oh, cool.
So this is a G4, obviously. I'm not running on the GS6.
Right.
But on the GS6.
If you were on the GS6, if you weren't connected explicitly to that Wi-Fi access point,
that let me solve the problem.
Yeah.
And that was why I love this app. But,
yeah.
But then I discovered the app does a bunch of other stuff. So it lets you, you know, pick a Wi-Fi network just like the default Android picker would. But then it has this really cool little meter that shows you what Wi-Fi, what's the strength, on which band. And then, of course, it has a 5 gigahertz map as well, right, since your device supports both. As you can see, it's ad-subsidized, so it's flashing like insanity right now.
Tap me.
What else is there? There's also like a bunch of network tools. You can do a LAN scan ping, get public IP, a bunch of simple tools. And then in the settings, what's cool is that if you have maybe an older Android phone that has a really crappy implementation of the Wi-Fi menu because Samsung, you know, co-opted that interface back in the day or whatever, you can have this thing start here. You can have it start on boot. You know, and there's a bunch of other stuff here. Let's see, connection management, you know, it fixes a bunch of bugs. You know, like you can do things, highlight the connect network. I'm not connected to any of the Twit networks right now, but it shows you. I mean, you know, there's nothing really to it. I'm just saying that this is one of the many apps you can use to solve the problem of somebody boneheadedly disabled the Wi-Fi forget network functionality unless you're connected to the network at the time on GS6.
That's so weird.
It's very much like iOS, which has that problem. And so I traveled a lot recently, right? Like being in Iceland, I connect to a bunch of, a lot of people, a lot of hotels that just Linksys and D-Link, you know, SSIDs. And there's no way I want these to be my preferred network list.
Yeah,
so I wanted to remove them when I got home. And I'm like, well, how do I do that? And I got all frustrated. And I'm like, hey, there's going to be an app for that. So not even remotely as cool as Portal. And I'm sure like a million of you right now at RC are having a field day telling me that there's a better app. And, you know, there's 10 million different Wi-Fi managers and scanners out there. But, hey, I picked this one. It saved my day.
Sticking to it.
I'm going to give it some love on the Excellent. All About Android show.
Excellent. Wi-Fi Connection Manager. I don't understand the logic behind not allowing you to forget a Wi-Fi access point unless you're connected to it. Because so often I find myself in that menu kind of trimming the fat. Cleaning it up because I don't want to do it ahead of time. Because you might not know that you've connected to it and suddenly everything sucks. And you just don't know that you're not getting updates because it's in your pocket.
And I hate that. And by the way, I want to tell you guys that the hack that I thought might work didn't work, which was like, oh, why don't I set up a hotspot locally on my phone or whatever named D-Link with no password and connect the GS6 to that and then forget the network on that and it'll remove it from the list.
No. That kind of sounds like that.
Because
work.
It has a unique ID, Wi-Fi, the MAC address, right? Yeah. So nope.
And SQLite.
SQLite.
All right. So my app is one. It's a type of app that I feel like I brought to the arena before, but I've never seen one as aggressive as this. It's called Flipped. And it helps you remove distractions. And basically, it's the kind of app that locks down your phone and doesn't interrupt you or let you access your phone for a period of time. Other apps we've seen are ones that, you know, try to lock out, you know, calls or texts or things like this. Flipped is just, like I said, it's aggressive in what it does. A lot of times, if you go out to dinner with folks and you say, listen, you know, I don't want to be interrupted by my phone or anything like that, this will help you do it. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out and said, yeah, we're not going to take our phones out, but then everyone's looking for the moment where they can look at the text and things like that. This one makes it happen. And so I've got it here. And what you can do is when you open it up, all right, actually, let me set my
scorching eyes.
Sorry. All right, so there we go. So when you open up Flipped, it gives you you log in with either your Google sign-in or Facebook sign-in. Very simple to do that. And then you can just tell it to flip off, and it will turn your phone off. When you do that, it tells you how long do you want to do it for. And then once you say go, your phone is locked. So I'm not going to do that as of yet.
Change it to 2 hours.
What you could also do is you can set an auto response. So if somebody texts you, you can come back with an auto text back to them immediately. And they give you a bunch of samples. You know, I'm out for dinner. I'm out with friends. I'm driving. Can't talk. This is actually pretty nifty. You know, like if you're at the movies, you just say, I'm at the movies. You can also edit them. Like I'm not studying because I don't go to school anymore. So I could edit that and change that. But I'm going to say I'm at the movies. So if anybody texts me, that's what will happen. When you do that, you get this little notification up there that tells you that you're giving an auto response. So now I'm going to turn off my phone now so we can see it work in action. I'm only going to do it for a minute, right? So right now I've set to 0 days, 0 hours, 1 minute. I'm going to say go. It says you're about to flip off for 1 minute. You're not going to be able to use your phone during this time. I'm going to say, okay.
And there's no way around it?
There's no way. Well, no. So what happens is that when you do it, so if I turn my phone off, I'm not going to get interruptions. It turns off all notifications. Okay. If I log into my phone, when I log in, it gives me this screen with a countdown of how much time is left.
Uh-huh.
And it's telling me that I've got notification noises on, but I can turn them off. And I'm giving my auto text response, you know. Now, if I need to get into my phone for some reason, you can do a 60-second unlock, which will allow you to go into your phone for 60 seconds. And it will – and you can do whatever you need to, but at the end of 60 seconds, it goes back to that countdown.
And there's absolutely no way to, like, cancel it.
You can't restart?
There's no way to get out of
it. Is it a device administrator? Is that why?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
Can you restart it?
I didn't try that, actually.
Does it come back?
When it comes back, we should try it. Now, the other interesting thing is that you can list emergency contacts. So when the phone...
So if you absolutely need to use it suddenly to call 911.
So when the phone is locked, if for some reason you needed to call some... So let's say I'm at dinner with Jason, I want to get some privacy, and I say I'm locked for an hour. Give me an ad. There we go. It's got these rewards, which is annoying, which I gotta figure out how to turn that off. If for some reason when the phone I've locked the phone for an hour, but I need to call, you know, you need to call your wife or I need to call my girlfriend or something like that, you can say make emergency call and it only brings up these list of contacts. So you want to make sure to populate this list with the people who you might need to call in the case of emergency. Of course, they preload it with 911. So now we're just waiting for the minute to end, so we'll go back to being locked. You know, it's using Material Design. It's got the little hamburger menu. It's got all that stuff. You can easily edit the responses, the contacts. There's also the advanced. This is what we're talking about. This is how you give the advanced features. So you can go to Device Administrator. You can enable it, disable it via the app. You don't need to go in the settings.
Okay.
It does it pretty well. But what really put this over the edge for me was the fact that you can also lock out other people from using their phones.
Flip off others.
Exactly. If you create a group and if you...
Just flip them all off.
Let's say we're constantly getting interrupted during the show. I can create a group with you and I in it and you need to install the app and accept the group and all stuff like that. And I can say flip off and choose the group and it will turn on flip on your phone and you won't be interrupted either.
So that's good for your kids if you have kids.
Actually, one of the things in their Play Store listing, they say this is great for parental controls. Mm-hmm. If you want to tell the kids no phone for 2 hours, you install this app, you create a group of your kids, and you can turn off their you can lock them out of their phone.
Now when it's flipped off and you turn the phone off, can you? Can you try that?
That's right.
Set it for 2 minutes or something.
All right, so now... It still turns off.
See if it comes back.
We might have found a loophole here.
Okay, turn back on.
I wonder. If it's a device manager, then it might set itself up as a thing that starts...
Let's see what happens.
You know, when the phone when the phone launches.
Well, either way, it's you're using your own phone. You shouldn't have to turn your own phone on and off to get around.
But if you're using it as a parental control, I'm telling you, kids are smart enough.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll figure this out. Yeah. And if they watch the show, they know now.
Yeah.
Kids these days.
So we're rebooting. So while we're rebooting, so it's free in the Google Play Store. It's the kind of thing where I see a use for this. If I'm going to the movies, just say, you know, I want to turn off my phone for 2 hours. It's the auto text responder is neat in and of its own self. The groups function I thought was neat. If you have a functional team, if you're like have a team of students or a team that you work closely with, and you have a meeting and you want to minimize the interruptions, you can just turn off everybody else. You know, like it kind of gives a little godlike power, assuming everybody wants to play along.
And it's fun to be able to say you're flipping off your friends.
Exactly, you know? I think they're having fun with that title. So
yeah,
so there you go. So Flipped, it is free in the Google Play Store, and my phone is still booting. I'll keep you posted.
FLIPD.
Well, you're past the minute. That's why it's like
Thank God the slow boot of the next
five. About that. Yeah, if it was set on time, then it probably will.
Yeah.
Okay, so while that's happening, and we can check back in on that, go to AAAPoll.com/218 if you want to place your vote. Your favorite app this week, is it Portal, Wi-Fi File Transfers, Wi-Fi Connection Manager, or Flipped? It appears that you have rebooted.
Yeah, and I'm totally in my phone.
So try longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, do like 5 minutes.
And see what happens.
Or maybe even longer.
Yeah, five. No. Do five, and
let's
then
do five.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll give you guys an update before the end of the show.
We've got plenty.
Because that really matters, I think. I mean, if you can circumvent it, but it's just power cycling, forget it.
Yeah.
All right, 5 minutes. Let's see what happens.
Can you be without your phone for 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah, I think so. All right, I'm
going to be jonesing. Okay, while we wait for that, I think that's about it. We'll check in on this when we're all done with our end of show stuff. Miriam, it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for coming
out. It's really great to be here, you know. I'm excited about what's coming next in terms of, you know, these rumors of a Galaxy S6 Plus or whatever. Ooh. Do you read that?
I haven't.
Yeah. No. That's,
I mean, I've heard of the Active, but
there's talk about, in addition to a Note 5, this summer before the Berlin, the show in Berlin was called IFA. Before IFA, which is most likely where the Note 5 is going to launch, but they're going to make a 5.7-ish. Version of the
Mini
Galaxy
Note or
S6.
A Maxi S6.
A Galaxy S6 Plus is what the name that been basically capitalized on the GS6 brand and the fact that people really love that design. And it's exactly just shrunk up in size. Mm-hmm. So the battery gets bigger, obviously. You lose a bit of DPI, but it's still a Quad HD display. And it would be Edge only. Mm-hmm. It would only come as an Edge model, both sides. I'm surprised you haven't heard this. I don't know where I read this recently, but I thought, that's interesting.
We're firmly in the rumor
avoidance
zone right now. It seems like all the news is
I'm excited if that's the
hardware.
Case. I'm not sure about SD card, but I don't think it would have a removable battery. I think the Note 5 is going to be that phone you want. The phone that's going to have the GS6 camera.
And they're going to have a good camera.
And going to have like SD and a removable battery and the little stylus S Pen. But so what's the verdict?
Nope. Turning off the analog hole exists.
Dang it.
Jesus, really?
I mean, think about it. I didn't think it was going to work because how can it keep track of time when the device is off?
Well, it just compares the time when it wakes up again.
So maybe that's something the developers need to look into.
Well, what I wonder is if device administrator access gives you either control over the power, like preventing power, or if it gives you control over when it reboots to, like, seize that control right away again.
Yeah. Either way, it's curious.
But
maybe I'll send developers a note.
The analog
I'm looking on their FAQ. It does not say anything about rebooting. So, well, either
They'll
way.
Work on that.
Yeah.
They'll work on that.
The auto response texting is pretty cool, let's be honest.
Sorry, Ron.
And maybe your kid isn't smart enough to know how to turn off and on.
It's great for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
I could totally stump my kid.
I like the app. There you go. Go vote for it.
It's great.
Based off Office Lens alone.
No, I think it's a cool idea. They just need to refine it a little more.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of other devices, I've asked Huawei to send me an SNP8. So I'll let you know if I get that.
Cool.
And you know, I know you guys want me to get a freaking Alcatel, whatever it is.
I also gotta get the Zenfone 2 in here.
Zen phone 2. I could ask for one. I'm sure that sure it's just of, it's just not being high on my priority list. There's just no phone out there that's really made me jones for.
Well, we're in a downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're pretty
thing.
Satisfied.
Yeah.
You got the one.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy for a while.
Cool. So I imagine when you have reviews like this, probably see it on Before You Buy. I also see it on your site.
For sure, yeah. And then I'll bring it on AA if I'm around, if you need me.
Excellent.
But yeah, you know, it's I'm just a little disappointed I didn't make it to I.O. this year. That was a bit of a bummer. Those Google people, I've got my eyes on you because, you know, I just think it's interesting to me that you know, I've had a really ongoing long-term relationship with a PR team over there as an ex-Engadget senior editor. And that, you know, I keep pimping Google. I really love Google. I really love Android. I really love their stuff. And, you know, they give me the runabout about getting me to I.O. And I know I.O. wasn't, that,
changes.
It wasn't that exciting this year, and I don't feel like I missed out on too much.
Kind
but it's kind of like I live in SF. It doesn't cost me anything to go to the conference, really, you know. And
can't do anything but help,
So weird. Weird.
So there's always next year.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, tankgirl.com at
tankgirl on Twitter. Tankgirl on Twitter. Drop the vowels, TNKGRL. My blog, TNKGRL.com. I'm here on Before You Buy and All About Android from time to time. And Twit with Leo from time to time. He invites me and we should have a good time.
Excellent.
So keep an eye on things. I have a podcast on my blog as well. Every month or two lately, I haven't been very good. But I'm very soon going to have a specific episode discussing the G4 and basically my time with the current flagships, getting into more detail about that part that we talked about 1 month and a half in. You
Checking
know, honeymoon
in after
zone
the, after
is
honeymoon.
Over and where are we at?
Kind of thing. Cool. Well, thank you. Appreciate you coming back, man.
Yeah, thanks.
What about you, Ron?
I've been awake for 18 hours.
Oh.
Wow. Boy.
I just did the math.
Don't fall asleep. I know, yeah.
So I'm a little wacky. Just go to about.me/RonXO and you can find links to my Instagram and Twitter and Google Plus and all that fun stuff. And now that I'm back in San Francisco, I'm going to be getting back to work. And so I'll be busy. So follow me and you can find that stuff. I got nothing else.
Righteous.
Yeah.
Josh, you got anything you want to plug? Oh. Have we turned you into an Android faithful?
The light's gone on.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I turn on the lights, actually. Hi.
Yeah, that's
he's unlike Brian.
You're
he's
like
not,
foreground
not,
light. Brian's background light.
Background light. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's the opposite.
You're going to sell your 6 Plus and get an Android device?
Sure.
No.
Not yet. You see, the problem is I want it all. I want, like, Android and I want my iOS. I don't want to have to give up anything.
You just do get two phones I do.
If only somebody made a dual bootloader phone. I'm surprised Asus hasn't done that, where you could just press a button and you could load iOS or you could load Android. That'd be pretty cool.
Could you imagine?
Why
doesn't
someone do that? That'd be really cool.
You have two pockets, right? Just two phones. Done. Look, look, I'm doing it. Like, there it is, right?
I know. That's why I have two pockets.
Right? Boom.
I have to. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TheMacAndJosh.
The Mac. Oh, God.
I realized, you know what? I realized, like, as I was plugging Twitter.
This just isn't going to end well, is it?
You're serious, are you?
No, I am. That's my Twitter handle.
Holy crap. The Mac and Josh?
No, I didn't even.
You can't make this up. You just can't.
Personally, I love your Twitter ID.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
I can't make my name as cool with Android. I can't. I don't know what to do.
I just added you.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing I've heard all week, Josh. Thank you. Very well done.
Remind me when the show's over, and we'll talk to Tony. We'll make sure that Mac and Josh is never on the show again.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, right. Don't.
Just kidding. Josh,
you
did a great job. Thank you.
That is just amazing.
And let us know when you get your Nexus 6. We fully support it.
I'll let you know.
You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. By the way, before we start the end of show music, or maybe you don't, whatever, twit.tv, we have a new site.
It's very
Check it out.
It's very cool.
It looks awesome. It launched this morning. And you can actually help us. Oh, I guess the music's going. by sending an email to bugs@twit.tv. Let us know if you find bugs. It would be really helpful. Okay. I don't know how far along it is, but 347 show AAA, AAA at twit.tv. We're at Android Show on Twitter, Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes of past episodes, twit.tv/AAA. Also on YouTube and iTunes. And you can find us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. Have a great week.
Wow.
I was way ahead of
how did you do that?
I don't know. I just became an auctioneer. I don't know.
That was very good.
Holy crap, dude.